Growing up, I really didn't like many words my parents would say, but two very special words that I certainly did not like is wait. And when I asked when, they said soon. When does soon feel like forever? Right? How long before dinner? It's almost ready. Soon we'll be at the table. And it seemed to take forever when I was hungry. And I was always hungry. Are you always hungry? Yeah. So you know this agony, right? So imagine a different kind of thirst, a different kind of hunger. It's in the days of the prophet Isaiah. And some people had given up waiting on God. And they turned to other religions, false gods and the like. Some didn't believe in any God. And they just lived for themselves. And they looked to satisfy the pleasures of their heart, their stomach, their mind, by whatever means they chose. And the idea is that for them, they thought, oh, these things will soon bring them peace, love, happiness, contentment, you know, and along with power and wealth and everything else. Into that kind of world comes the word of God through the prophet. It's on the back of your bulletin. Take a look. Just a couple things about the text itself, and that is the Trinity is in this section. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When it talks about the Spirit of the Lord, and then it says, upon Him, you have Spirit, Lord, and Him is Jesus. Holy Spirit, Lord, Almighty God, and Him, God's only Son. Without the word Trinity, yet it is here, even in the Old Testament, to tell us that God had a plan, that He would send His Son. We know that Isaiah calls Him the suffering servant, and because this one who's coming, who's going to be the Messiah, the anointed one, this one who's coming is going to go through a great difficult challenge. He is going to suffer for the sins of the world. We learn, and if you remember your confirmation days, by His stripes or by His wounds, we are healed. We learn that from the Old Testament. And this is the suffering that He will endure. And so you have this message before Jesus actually is conceived here on earth, Mary, and raised up, age 12 in the temple, age 30 beginning the first miracle at the wedding of Cana, and then for 3 years of ministry, getting 12 disciples, bringing others to faith by His preaching and the power of the word, and then you have His suffering, death, and resurrection. Way before any of that, Isaiah tells us that there's going to be a change. Take a look at the words that tell us change. There's a change because in verse 2, it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Jesus. That is the Him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. And that's a change. There's a handy little book that helps with the history. And remember, I never liked history. But this is a handy book. And it's called Haley's Bible Handbook. And it's about this thick. It's blue. It's not very tall. But it gives you all the kings of the two kingdoms, the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom, the two tribes in the south, the 10 tribes in the north. This is, you know, after the division, after the days of David. And it tells you bad or wicked, evil, somewhat wicked, somewhat not too bad, and then a good king. And the number of good kings was very few. And the people had to endure this. This is a change. The one of God is coming, and He will be absolutely different. And Isaiah talks, it sounds like it'll be happening soon. And some of the people had a hard time waiting, just like you and I. But he doesn't stop with that. He keeps going. He tells us there is a change, that righteousness shall be the belt of his waist and faithfulness the belt of his loins. And in verse 6, he tells us there'll be a change in creation. And so you have all these contrasts. You have the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, leper with the young goat, the calf and the lion, the fattened calf together. The child shall lead them. When does children lead? Children like to boss, we got that, and they like to make the rules for the house, and we got that, but when do children really serve as leaders? And it says, the children shall lead. So that's a change. The cow and the bear shall graze together. Remember, bears are meat eaters. And so this is a change. You have their young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. That's a change. What happens for the prophet is that he's now talking about when Christ comes again to judge the living and the dead. And all the things of this world shall pass away. And so in Revelation, you have the new heaven and the new earth. And in Revelation, you have all the contrast. No war, no famine, no pain, no sorrow. You have all the great no's. Here in Isaiah, you have all what's present. It's a change. And the question, when we start reading this text today, starts to unfold. One, I can't wait. When will this happen? Okay, and I don't want to wait. But the other part is any of this change happening today? You as God's people are the change. It's already begun. For once we weren't reconciled to God, and now we are. Once we were in unbelief, and now we believe. Sometimes in our lives, it begins in infancy with baptism and faith is created. And sometimes in our lives, you know, we don't have faith until many years later. And you know, the second service, we're going to have an adult confirmand. Now, she's been a believer for a while, so that the faith isn't new. But her proclamation of faith as a member and a believer, as we teach and believe, is new. So sometimes faith, I was at a bedside, and the guy confessed. He was 80-some years old. And he said, I believe. We never know when this is going to happen, but the change has already begun. And the conflict that our creation sees between the carnivores and the bait, if you will, the meal plan. We see the tension. You can watch on Wild Kingdom or something like that, the great chase. One of my favorite was the cheetah, how fast they run, and you know, but they can only run so fast for a very short window, right? Yeah. But the change for people happens in Christ. You are forgiven of your sins. You're reconciled to God. And you ever noticed, even in today's news or yesterday's news, how people are at odds? How people are violent toward each other, how people of different cultures act like we can't get along, people speaking different languages have intolerance. On and on, this goes around our globe. It's not just here in America, it's everywhere. But there's a change. It's we who are alive in Christ, and this lesson has that phrase. Take a look. When it says in verse 10, in that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. We who live today in Christ, we who are alive because of Christ, who are waiting for the return of Christ, we follow and believe and teach God's word. And it teaches that all have fallen short of the glory of God. It has nothing to do with our looks, our language, or anything else about us because we have this sinful nature. But in Christ, we're reconciled to God. We're forgiven. And in Christ, we have hope. And when we look at each other, we see each other through the eyes of Christ. We are the Gentiles that the Old Testament talks about, or in the New Testament. We are the people outside of the chosen nation of Israel. And yet we're no longer outsiders. We're now part of God's people. Because in the New Testament, it even highlights there's neither Greek nor Jew, male nor female. It's about people who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, who's been crucified, who is alive. And it is a change. It's a change that brings forgiveness instead of holding on to bitterness and resentment. It's a change that brings hope instead of staying in our own despair and agony. It's a change that helps us to look forward instead of just at the now, the here and now, which is sometimes kind of empty. It's a change. It's a long message from the prophet, from God to the prophet. But in a blink of an eye, it will be here. In God's timelessness, in the sense of eternity, it's soon. But that's the word we don't want, right? Soon and wait. So here's the great news. You don't have to wait for some of the changes. God cleanses your heart. He renews your mind. He restores the relationship that's broken with Him. And He helps you to be ambassadors of reconciliation with one another. We don't have to wait till we're in heaven to get along. We actually get to live alive in Christ. We actually get to live in Him, whose place, who He Himself is glorious. And as we celebrate Christmas coming up, and the packages are unwrapped, and we get to see all that new stuff, we know that the things of this world fade away. But what He offers, the change He brings, will endure forever. Amen.